Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Includa, including Intuka, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mitch Moreland is sitting on the bench. Mitch Moreland is someone with a 600 career average against Rodney.
Six for 10 with two walks.
6 for 10 and two walks, or 800 OPS.
Well, 8 out of 12, actually.
Yeah. 8 out of 12. Okay, whatever that is. So he's had tremendous success against Rodney. And Bradley is allowed to hit. Furthermore, Mitch Moreland is the best pinch hitter in Major League Baseball over the last two-plus years. Since the beginning of the 2016 season, Mitch Moreland is the best pinch hitter in baseball, and he doesn't get up. After the game, Alex Cora says, never considered it. There wasn't really a spot for him, and pitch hitting's tough. Awful comments on their face. Just brutal. Because how could they not consider it? And what do you mean pinch hitting's tough? Not for Moreland, it's not. He's the best in the game. And there wasn't a spot for him. As Maz pointed out, you could have pinch hit for the last four guys.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, really. Once you get to Pierce in that lineup, of the last four hitters, I think, or five hitters the Red Sox sent up there, to me, the only one you could say, nah, I'd let him hit was Holt. He's hitting 278. Fine. No problem. If you're looking for an extra base hit, Holt doesn't bat. But if you only need a single, fine, you let him go. Like, the upgrade there is not appreciable over, from Moreland to, from Holt to Moreland.
So again,
Moreland should have hit in that inning.
The postgame comments were scary bad, to the point where Maz and I agree on this, that Cora doesn't really believe it. Don't tell me you didn't consider it, please. And there wasn't a spot for him. I mean, that's just asinine.
No. This is classic manager taking the long view with the player.
So he's protecting the player. Protecting the player because they have to coddle Jackie Bradley because they want to go forward with him. They want to play him every day. They have to get the most out of him offensively, and they have determined the way to do that is to baby him and coddle him. And so that's what that was last night. That was coddling. That cost you a game. Forget the post-game coddling. Letting him hit is coddling him because, as you said, Maz, you made a good point. When you pinch hit someone left for left or right for right, you're telling the guy we've lost faith in you offensively.
Correct. It's an insult.
If they pinch hit for him with a right-hander, you can say, well, there's a matchup there.
And when I say it's an insult, it's perceived
yes.
as an insult.
No. It's they're saying, we don't have faith in you offensively.
Right. You suck so bad, we're not even going to let you hit when you have the matchup in your favor.
And so I feel like this is something Terry Francona would have done. I don't know about John Farrell. So I asked earlier, I put out the nerd call, how many times has Jackie Bradley been hit for this year? He's the second worst hitter in Major League Baseball, folks. And we've run the numbers, and we did this a couple weeks ago, so maybe he's crept up to the third worst. But when we looked at it, you know, with all the various numbers and all the various metrics for qualifying players, it was him and Chris Davis, the worst offensive players in baseball. And Jackie was second worst on that list. Maybe he's crept up a notch in the last 2 to 3 weeks, but he's down there. Bottom five hitter in Major League Baseball, okay? Guess how many times he's been pinch hit for this year? Once.
May 18th.
It's only pinch hit for once.
And it was Brock Holt who hit for him.
So it was left for left.
So, but how can you hit that poorly and only, well, maybe it speaks to the fact that the Red Sox are leading all these games, you know, they're winning so many games that how many times are they
that's
really,
part of it.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
that's part of it.
Let's face it. That is a big part of it, that they're almost always winning. And so you don't need to take Bradley out offensively, but still, you hit 207, you hit under 200 for much of the year, and you only get pitch hit for once, they coddle him.
Oh, there's no question they coddle him. They absolutely do. I mean, even with all their wins, I bet you if we really went back and looked, we could find 6 to 10 occasions where they could have hit for Bradley late in the game, and they didn't. I guarantee you we could find that. And so right now he ranks, out of qualifying players, 72nd out of 82 in OPS in the American League. Okay, so he's still in the bottom six, for crying out loud. He's horrible. And they do. They send him up there. And to me, this is just a simple, classic, long-term managing. That, nope, we're going to bite the bullet. We're going to ride it out because we need to show the player that we have faith in him. Okay. And that's worth something to us in the regular season.
I don't agree with it, but at least it's logical. It's a plan. Francona would have done it, Jimmy. I'm sorry he would have done that. And, okay, so be it. We'll see if that's the right approach. The real second guess for Cora is that Moreland never got up for anyone.
Correct.
That's the real second guess. Because if you want to protect Bradley, I get it. He may, you know, will probably be your starting center fielder in the playoffs. Why do you need to protect Steve Pierce?
You don't.
And why do you need to protect Blake Swihart?
You don't.
Who I think you hate because it's taken an act of God for him to get on the field.
What if Cora has a thing with Moreland? Because he's out of the lineup again tonight, too.
Who are the Twins throwing tonight?
Lance Lynn.
Okay,
so it's a right-hander. So didn't Moreland have some little physical issue at the end of...
Well, they asked Cora last night.
He said no.
He was all right.
So maybe they're hiding something there. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's something going on there that we don't know about. Like, you know, two nights in a row, two right-handed pitchers? Like, that's a little
weird.
Okay,
so maybe they're protecting that. Don't tell me that he didn't consider it. Like, that's just, again, they're protecting something. Bradley's psyche, Bradley's ego, trying to coddle this guy to get the most out of him. They're hiding an injury from Moreland. I mean, don't tell me that Cora actually went through that, never considered it, and afterwards really believed there wasn't a spot for the best pinch hitter in baseball. Don't tell me he really believes that.
No, I can't imagine that he does. And look, again, I told you, I looked this up. The Red Sox have the fourth fewest pinch hitting appearances in the league this year. Now, again, look, they've won a ton of games and they've scored a ton of runs. So it's not like you can sit there and say, well, this is some sort of egregious, you know, he's clearly got a philosophy about this. If he's doing the same thing in September, even late August, September and October in big games. Oh, what a mistake. Huge mistake. He better manage differently.
Okay, so that's our Red Sox thought. We go back to your phones here on an Agenda Free Friday. Cheryl waiting patiently in Needham with a Patriots thought. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Okay, guys, love the show. Listen, my question is on the Patriots, and my thoughts are on when Daddy, Robert Kraft, hands over everything to Jonathan Kraft, what the team is going to look like.
Good question, Cheryl.
Under Jonathan's reign.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's going to be totally different.
How so?
I don't think he's going to put up with any of the nonsense that Robert Kraft did.
So you think John will rule with a stronger hand and...
I sure do.
So you think it'll be a good thing in some respects?
I think they need this.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I'm going to drop her. And so, like, I think most people are scared of Jonathan, and that's no knock on Jonathan. I think that whenever the patriarch dies and it's handed down moves on and it passes it on to the kid, you hold your breath about the kid. That's just human nature. So I think most people are apprehensive of the Jonathan thing. But I don't know.
Maybe. If he had full control when the Garoppolo trade happened or that call was made, do you think they only get a second round pick back?
I mean, it's a great point. Does John not just stick his nose in there, but really influence the thing? You know, Robert wants to be everyone's friend. He does. And he wants
especially after Deflategate.
I mean, not just, you know, fans, NFL owners. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about, like, even internally. He probably wants to be friendly. He wants to be friends with Bill, wants to be friends with Tom, wants it to all be okay and for him to be in the middle of it. Jonathan isn't quite that way. Feistier.
Oh, totally feistier.
And so...
But Robert was feistier when he was younger, too. Not like Jonathan, but...
Okay, but we're talking about now.
Yeah,
we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
So would John have injected himself there differently in the Garoppolo thing and said, Bill, you're not trading him for that. You're not keeping him, but now let's not get stupid. And if that pisses you off and you're going to tell me to go F myself, then so be it. But, does John do that? It's a good question. I don't know. I think most people are apprehensive of the transition.
As you've said before,
but maybe there's that little bit of a firmer hand or a different approach.
So maybe there wasn't checks and balances and pushback from Robert with that deal because, again, he doesn't want to be labeled again as the guy that pushed another coach out because that's what happened with Parcells. But if Jonathan was there, I don't think that happens. Like, I think there's more oversight.
See, I'm with
and
Murray.
Belichick wouldn't want any part of that, so maybe he'd be out faster, you know?
Oh, well, if John were here, I don't know. I don't know if Bill would.
No. I was just going to say, how's it going to work? Tell me who the coach is. Because Jonathan...
Josh.
He's going to have to operate with a certain kind of coach. Like, this is sort of the point, right? That it's got to mesh. So he's got to pick a guy that can work with him.
Well, no, I mean, he could bring in... John, I have full faith that Josh would bring in... John Kraft would bring in a strong-willed, hard-nosed coach that would stand up to him. I don't think John would be afraid of that kind of coach, but it would have to be his guy. And this isn't just about John. It's about any kid that inherits the family business. People just look at you differently. Like, that's a hard thing for John to take over and then to have Bill Belichick look at him and treat him the same way he did Robert when Robert's the one who gave him the job. And, you know, it's just like that's just a common dynamic.
Yeah, I just wonder how long something like that can last, though. You know, so, you know, again, with Kraft and Robert and Bill... I mean, it's lasted 20 years or thereabouts because I think Robert recognized, okay, I got to give this guy some latitude. So he read him and he adjusted. I don't think Jonathan would have done it that way. So I'm just saying you got to have a coach that's a little more malleable and that'll bend.
Sonny Corleone is sort of a analogy that some people have drawn.
Never heard that.
We continue with the conversation right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Well, we talked to them. And I guess that's all I would say. I mean, I think some of the part of it, we really like this fit for us.
The Waffle?
Yes.
Did you say if you felt like you had the power to make that trade if you wanted to?
Yes, we did.
So you say you like the Waldy. Did you feel kind of like that this was the priority, the getting the starter over the
We thought, well, I mean, I don't mean to downplay because he's a very good pitcher, but for us, we think the fit was better to get someone like this.
You know, so I think Dave Dombrowski's right. They didn't need Zach Britton last night.
No.
Much rather than have Matt Barnes and Hembree. And their best eighth inning guy all year is Joe Kelly. They didn't even warm him up. Because he's going so what? Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. He has a 12 ERA in July. So they're petrified of Joe Kelly to the point where they didn't even get him up in a one-run game. They go with Hembree and Barnes. They cough it up. But Dave Dombrowski, again, according to Dave Dombrowski, they could have just as easily had Zach Britton as Nathan Eovaldi. So we'll see if that turns out to be the right decision. Something tells me Britton would have fit well last night in there somewhere. And that's
what could
getting.
Give you that? You're a negative dank.
I am. But again, Dombrowski told me. He told me they could have. They just said it. I don't know.
Well, we talked to them.
I mean, again, I listened to Nesson. The team owned, is it team owned? Well, but they're still fair.
Yeah, it's team owned. Yeah,
they're still fair and objective. Like, again, give me the report.
The Red Sox acquired Nathan Eovaldi to bolster their pitching staff. But make no mistake, they could have had Zach Britton if they wanted to, according to Dave Dombrowski.
Well, we talked to them.
They could have had Britton.
Well,
they could have had Britton.
Well,
I don't know. Heath Hembree, Zach Britton.
Well.
We talked to them.
Matt Barnes, Zach Britton.
Well.
I love that so much.
Let's just see how this plays out.
What do you need Zach Britton for? Did you read the Globe today?
No.
Addition with future in mind? ? Eovaldi's skills seem suited for playoffs. Oh. No kidding. Huh. Eovaldi's skills.
How many playoff appearances does he have in his career?
Zero. Eovaldi's skills seem suited for playoffs. Suited. That would be based on his zero. His zero career playoff appearances. What skills exactly are we talking about?
Well, I would say they throw hard.
Giving up homers? Like, is that what we're talking about? He's given up 11 dongs in 57 innings.
Let me try and play along.
Last year, he gave up 23.
He throws hard, and he's good against right-handers.
Ooh. So that makes him good in October?
I have no idea if October. But
how do you know he won't have a case of the runs when he gets out there?
No,
how the hell do you know that? The playoffs are half the playoffs are about just sort of keeping your composure and being able to harness it all. Luis Severino throws 100 miles an hour. Last year, he looked like he needed a diaper out there, for crying out loud. You could see it running down his leg on the mound at Yankee Stadium, for crying out loud. This guy has given up 77 home runs in his career in under 800 innings. This year, he's given up 11 in 57 innings. It feels like every time he goes up on the mound, he puts it on a tee for someone to hit over the left field wall. Like, how do you know? His skills seem suited for the playoffs? Based on what? Like, who came up with that? Like, holy crap.
Meanwhile, I thought Murray's and Stu's time and temperature there coming into the block with some of our finest work today.
Yeah, that was my fault.
It's a Friday.
Can I hear what that sounded like?
Sorry, Jimmy.
First, there was a... Hold on.
This hour of Felger and Maz. Oh, no. What are you talking about? I don't have anything here.
Yeah, do it justice coming out of the interstitial where there's like 5 seconds of dead air. And then on the air, could you hear Stu snap at Murray?
No, I think that was off the air.
Oh, that's too bad.
I was thinking, Murray!
Murray!
Five seconds.
Sorry, Jimmy. This hour of Felger and Maz. Oh, no. What are you talking about? I don't have anything here. That's at the 50 is when you sign at this hour.
Yeah, that's my fault.
Yeah, that is the sports radio.
The last 15 days have been a little tough on my time right now.
How's Willow sleeping?
Not good.
I hear you, Jimmy. I've been there, pal. Like everyone says, congratulations when you have a baby.
Yeah, it's not that great.
The first 6 weeks are a living hell. The good news is it gets better once you get through that, if you can survive it.
It's just added to my list of children that I deal with daily.
The only good times with kids are from 1 month to 12, when they're 1 year old and they don't move. Just sit, plop them in the corner. That's fine. And then from the age 6 to about 13, I think they're kind of cool. Everything in between blows. Oh, any kid from 1 to 6 years old? Just wretched pain.
As someone once said to me, Jimmy, you spend the first year of their life teaching them to walk and talk and the rest to shut up and sit down.
Which is from age 1 to 6. 5 straight years of it. Ah, but anyway, back to the phone. Sorry for the diversion.
Sorry, Jimmy. This hour of Felger and Maz. Oh, no. What are you talking about? I don't have anything here.
That's some stellar work right there.
The sports radio equivalent of a false start.
Mike in San Jose. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. I don't think the Malcolm Butler decision is too...
That's a strong call. That's another. That fits in perfectly. Frank the Tank, I know he's got it going. Frank, what do you got for us?
All right, listen. Look, first off, I hate the new studios, guys. I'm sorry to be that way. Because I like the old ones better. I liked you guys there better for some reason.
What, just the visual or how we sound?
It's the visual. I don't know. I don't like it. It looks like you guys are at a freaking business meeting or something.
It's fancy.
I don't know. I like the other place where you guys had no windows, no contact with the outside world, and just made it for better visual radio, I guess.
It was a little more intimate,
look,
Frank.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, but look, you guys know what I do for a living, okay? So you guys know that I wake up every day angrier than a Wolverine high on acid, okay? And in this heat already this summer, I just want to drown people in their own pool as I drive by their house. But to have to listen to this BS all the time about Malcolm Butler, if there's anybody out there who actually thinks that the Patriots didn't lose because of that, give me a break. If he played in the game, they would have won by 10 points. Nothing makes me angrier than to have to listen to people call in and say that that's not the reason why they lost. Yeah, it is. If he had played in the friggin' game, the Patriots would have won by 10 points.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for the call. It's not just, you know, that, you know, it's not just Batamosi for Butler or whatever, Rowe for Butler, like the drop off there in talent is how'd the rest of the team respond? Like how'd that secondary group respond?
Oh no, they looked like a fire drill at times. They regressed to almost to what it was at the beginning of the season.
Right. Like did Stephon Gilmore, I think he played decently.
No,
right?
No, Gilmore was okay. Yeah.
But it felt like the rest of them.
Yeah, no. In fact, if you remember, there was that little swing pass that Clement went, you know, like a wheel route on the side. Richards was completely out of whack on that. He misread it, ran up, got beat. There was another one with Ertz, which was a similar sort of thing. They looked confused. They did. They looked confused.
So there was a trickle-down effect, and then I think there was a little bit of a emotional or psychological effect. I mean, guys are putting their arms around him as he's crying on the sidelines during the national anthem. I mean, that doesn't exactly... You know, that's like not a player that's not exactly laser focused, dialed in. And I'm not talking about Butler. I'm talking about the guys around him, consoling him. So I think the whole thing, I mean, it's a fair second guess. Jack and Hyannis. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah. Hey, Felger, listen, he does owe us an apology, and I'll tell you why. Listen, Maz, you're right. We are mostly hypocrites, okay? I'm not going to argue with you on that. And I do like to see him jab the media here and there. I've gotten to the point where I don't even listen to them things anymore. They're so freaking boring now. But even Michael Corleone let Kay ask him this one time about his affairs. One time. That's all we're asking.
One time. That's right. And then he lied through his teeth to her.
Oh, he did. He totally lied right in her face. And you know what? Bill would do the same to you, with all due respect. But see, look, I'm just naive for this. And you wouldn't be the first to accuse me of that. I just think that sometimes you do owe your fan base an answer. Yeah. Even on a football matter. Like, these are the people that ultimately are the entire reason you're in business, because they care. They do.
So whether we're owed or not, I mean, I just think he could help himself. He could help himself with a little bit of a different approach, a little bit of a lighter touch, as opposed to turning around and dumping on anyone who dares ask it, or just that whole sort of, you know, the way he carried himself the other day. I don't think he did himself any favors. That's all. I just think, even short of telling us exactly why or what happened, there's a middle ground there that I think, you know, he'd be better served going there, but he so rarely goes there that, you know, who's expecting that? Back to your calls on Agenda Free Friday after Murray's update.
If there is one.
Jimmy?
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How do you think Brady's looked so far?
Rusty. I think offensively they have not looked good, and that's the case. I mean, you guys have been up here. You've watched a lot of training camp practices. First couple days of training camp, defense is always ahead. I think that's safe to say. But I thought both days the numbers were worse from Brady today. If you want to put any stock into those 11 on 11, he was 8 for 15 today. He was 11 for 15 yesterday. But I thought both days rusty, little out of sync. You're seeing passes, you know, sail through the goalposts at times. You're seeing passes deflected. You know, yesterday for Landon Roberts and Jawan Bentley to be making plays on Tom Brady passes in a drill early in practice, both of those guys, I think are self-described run stuffers, not really pass coverage guys.
I'm gonna go
to make a play there. That's that shows me that they've got some work to do this summer before they feel like they're clicking on all cylinders.
Tom Brady looks rusty.
Rusty.
Yeah. Oh, no, again, I'm sorry. In case you missed it, Phil Perry does a fine job, NBC Sports Boston, down there every day, covers every day of training camp, covered the team every single day down there for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. On Beadle and Zolak early on today, how did Brady look, Phil?
Rusty.
And his description is great. There's balls sailing through the uprights.
Yeah.
You got scrubs like Landon Roberts, and who was the other one picking off Brady?
Jawan Bentley or something like that.
So, and that's surprising, Maz.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you would think that, like, I don't know, the guy took the summer off.
I thought playing grab ass in Monaco and tooling around Costa Rica on the beach and eating was the right way to get ready for a football season.
Yeah, me too.
Huh. Turns out maybe it's not.
I mean, I'm
rusty.
I'm shocked.
Me too.
I can't imagine that someone who wasn't trying to refine his skill would actually be
rusty.
Rusty.
That's the word I'm looking
for. That's surprising.
Something less than sharp.
So wait a minute. You mean it actually helps to practice in the spring? To get ready for the football season in the summer and the fall? Ha! Well, I've been... That's confusing. Because most of you folks have been telling me all of these off-season the practices mean nothing.
Yeah, Felga, they don't matter. They don't matter, Felga.
And he shows up and now the ball's sailing through the upright and Landon Roberts is picking him off.
Yeah, if Wiggy gets his way, that'll be worth 3 points.
Yeah, but rust can come off.
Oh, Murray. Okay, go ahead, Murray. The Brady defense crew. Go.
No. This isn't defense. Maybe this could be something far worse than rust. Age.
Ooh. I'm not ready to go there yet.
So velocity down, getting picked off by Landon Roberts, sailing balls. I don't like hearing that.
Felger said this off the air. He looks better in pads than out. If I were him, I would never go shirtless on a beach again.
He's not showing any of that flab. He looks in good shape.
No, he actually looks pretty lean. I give him credit for that. But apparently the throws have been a little off target.
Rusty.
Shocker.
And look, you know, Phil Perry seems like a remarkably nice guy. I don't know him all that well. And he seems very tactful. Like you said, you know, Landon Roberts, whose strength, those guys aren't necessarily regarded as passing game players.
What does he really mean to say? Yeah.
Yeah. What he really means to say is that Landon Roberts blows. Like, that's what he really means to say. Landon Roberts just sucks. I mean, what are you going to say? Seventh round pick, he blows. And he's picking off Brady. He's also about 4 feet tall, for crying out loud. It's like having Soucy in the linebacker.
Yeah, no, Howie picked him off in the end zone.
Yeah, too. Exactly. So, but you know, Brady's just, yeah, he's a little off, Mike. That's all it is.
Rusty.
But I'm just very confused because I was told the spring doesn't mean anything. It's not important for those guys to show up. Meanwhile, Mitch Moreland, what the hell is going on with Mitch Moreland? That's like a developing story. So it starts with, why aren't they pitching for Jackie Bradley last night? How do you not have Mitch Moreland at least get in at bat last night, whether it's for Jackie Bradley or one of those other guys at the bottom of the order? Mitch Moreland's the best pinch hitter in baseball over the last 2+ years. So, and it was a right-hander on the mound. and who he had tremendous success against, 6-for-10 lifetime, .600 batting average with 2 walks, as Maz pointed out, and 12 at bats. So that's just a tremendous track record against that pitcher. He didn't get off the bench. So what, you know, we thought it was just protecting Jackie Bradley, which I think they were. But are they also protecting Mitch Moreland? After the game, Cora said it wasn't an injury. He was available. Now today, Mitch Moreland, who's out of the lineup for the fourth straight day against a right-hander.
Correct.
Said that his knee's banged up.
His knee is sore, yes. Apparently during the offseason, he had some sort of procedure or surgery for cartilage in his knee. And so he's had some soreness, so they're sitting him out.
So why wouldn't Cora just say that last night?
Probably two reasons. One, because then that is sort of indicating that he doesn't have confidence in Bradley.
Because if he blamed, right. Sorry, go on.
No, so then, you know, I would have hit him. He was unavailable. But then you delivered the same message to Bradley as if you had it for him.
Bingo.
So there's that. And then also, at the very least, if you don't say anything about it, you plant a potential in the head of the opposition. The opposing manager is sitting there going, well, they got Moreland on the bench. I could see Moreland here, so what do I want to do against Pierce?
Get up the lefty or
bingo,
something.
Bingo, yeah. Right, exactly. So you at least throw that element in there and give the other manager something to think about.
I wondered off the air if he could be trade bait, if they're keeping out of the lineup, because they could trade him. Because you have nothing in the minor leagues. I think that's been established, I guess, unless you really do want Nathan Eovaldi over Zach Britton. So, you know, you'd have to peel something off your major league roster. It should be Bradley. Maybe it should be Devers. Is Mitch Moore, does he have any marketability? As a trade,
well, we talked to them.
As a trade chip, does he? And I don't realize he signed for 2 years.
He signed for this year and next. One more after this season at 6.5,
which is a really good number for him.
Unbelievable number for him.
I mean, he could start on half the team. Starts on this one for crying out loud. But he should start. I mean, he'd be a starter on half the teams in the league, don't you think?
Yes. I mean, I think that. Look, he was in the All-Star game this year. Not that that means anything, but the point being, I looked it up at that time because I remember thinking, how's this guy in the All-Star game? First base as a position in the American League now sucks. Really, there was a time there when you'd think everybody has a first baseman that can hit 30 homers. Moreland ranked number one in the league in OPS at the position. I mean, that tells you to get that for $6.5 million. So that's pretty good.
Is he marketable?
Yes.
For a team that is having a down year but thinks they'll be back in it next year.
Sure, absolutely.
Right, I mean, does he make sense for a team like that? You know, I don't know if he makes sense for Baltimore, which has 5, you know, years of wilderness ahead of him, but I don't know. Name that team.
Oakland.
San Francisco. You know, a team like this, right, that may not be in it this year, but always sort of thinks they're going to be in it, right? I mean, I don't know. A team like that, a mid-tier team. He would. I mean, that's a great number for him.
Tremendous number.
6.5.
Like I say Oakland because Oakland's always operating on a budget.
Right.
And Moreland right now.
But Oakland's in it this year. See, it's got to be a team that's out of it now.
Sure.
But fancies himself to be right back next year. Right. So they can give up a reliever now for that good piece next year.
Someone who is, I don't know, the Twins. Right. The Twins were in the playoffs last year. Now they're having a bad year. So you look at it and say, you know, Joe Mauer, what's Joe Mauer anymore? And I don't know when Mauer's contract up. This might be the last year. But in any case, same deal. Like, Mitch Moreland could help the Twins. Absolutely. So a team like that, that's in the middle.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, phones as promised. Alan in Florida on the Red Sox. What do you got, Alan?
Well, no, number one, you really don't really believe that Moreland's not hurt or something. And I doubt about it if it was any disciplinary in situation.
Oh, I don't think it's
so
disciplinary.
Obviously, he's hurt. I mean, it doesn't take a Rhodes Scholar to figure this one out. I mean, he's not playing tonight. Cora, the other day, he did say that he wasn't hurt. He also said he was going to play at least 3 out of the 4 games against Minnesota. So, obviously, he's hurt. I mean, you know, I don't know why they're keeping it a secret or a beat writer can't get it out. That's what a beat writer...
But also, I mean, usually the baseball guys don't hide injuries like they do in other sports. There's really no reason for it. So
no, but they're doing it because he's not playing tonight. So, I mean, really, he's hurt.
If he was hurt, why would Cora say he's going to play 3 of the next 4?
I don't know. But why, you know, because maybe he didn't, who knows? You know, Cora's not, maybe he's, they're hiding it from him. Something is up, but somebody should find out. But, I mean, he definitely, I mean, he's hurt. Okay. He's not playing tonight. So,
maybe he's hurt. To me, I find him an interesting piece for a trade chip. I just don't know if he is or not. I have no idea.
How can they trade him now? First of all, there's only a few teams left. The guy I like, Maz knows, and he's right, probably won't be able to get him, the Iglesias. But a very interesting team that they could trade with right now, if Washington in the next week doesn't come up.
Exactly.
This was an odds-on favorite to win the National League East. But the way they're playing, so they have two relievers now. They went out and got this Herrera from Kansas City, who's been pitching rotten for them, by the way, but put him on a good team. And they got Doolittle. They have two relievers, and they're going to go downhill after this.
Exactly. And they fancy themselves a team that's going to get right back in it next year. Maybe they're worried about losing Harper. They get Moreland's bat in there for only $6.5 million. Like, a player like Moreland, to me, makes sense for the Washington Nationals. Perfect
sure.
example.
Well, maybe, but right now, I mean, you're not looking to get rid of anybody on your major league team. You're just trying to increase. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Britton a couple of years ago was dynamite. One of the maybe best or one of the best. I don't think Britton right now is the same pitcher he was a couple of years ago. I think the Yankees got him mainly so the Red Sox and Houston wouldn't get him.
Alan.
Because where's he going to pitch?
Who would you rather have, Britton or Eovaldi?
Oh, I'd rather have Britton.
Okay.
All right. No, I mean, there's no question about it, but don't you think that one of the their eighth inning pitcher is the best eighth inning pitcher in baseball, in my opinion.
Right. But it's overkill. It's over. They don't they did not fill a need. I mean, that's true, Alan.
Right. That's all I'm saying. So they got it to prevent the Red Sox or Houston from getting it, and it's not a bad move by Cashman.
I'll tell you what. I mean, they could have used Zach Britton last night, and there's going to be more spots like that coming up. So if they did it just to block you, there's some value to that.
Absolutely. And again, remember that, like, even if he does, did they get better in the seventh? Did they get better in the sixth? With their rotation, it's not a bad strategy to say, you know what? We'll take 4 1/3. We'll take 4 2/3 out of our starters. Just get us through the order two times and then let us go to the big guns and let us fire those at you every inning for the next five. Like, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And if you can just load up in the back end of the game, so be it. There's nothing wrong with that either.
Peter in the car. What do you got for us, Peter?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Hey, getting back to the Patriots and the whole, you know, Gronkowski and Garoppolo and who's to blame, Belichick, Brady, blah, blah, blah. My personal opinion, my feeling on the whole thing is that the biggest blame that goes to somebody is not being talked about, and that's the owner, Kraft.
So what,
I mean, here's the guy who owns,
so what should he have done, Peter?
The big boss. Well, I don't understand why he isn't getting some more blame from the fans and the media, and why is he not stepping in and having to come to life with these guys and just sitting them all down saying, cut the crap with your egos, cut the nonsense out, we have a job to do, and we have a game to play, and we need to win, and let's make it happen.
All right, what if those guys don't want to hear it? What if those guys don't want to hear it?
You let them go. I mean, personally, I think you should trade Gronk. I think Gronk should go because he is the last person who should be handcuffing the team when he's hurt more times than he's not. Yeah, he's the greatest, you know, tight end since whenever. But the fact of the matter is he's spent more time hurt than he has done any good. And he's handcuffed in the team to more money when he signed his contract.
Okay, Peter, we can debate the Gronk. He's been more trouble than he's been worth. Rob Gronkowski? Yeah, I don't agree with you on that. But on Kraft's role. So, look, if you're someone like Jim Murray, and there's a lot of you, the tens of millions of people fall in this category I'm about to mention, that you believe Brady's responsible for the championships and Brady's the most responsible for this team and Brady's the most important piece on this team, then for you, Robert Kraft is your hero. He saved Tom Brady. He chose Tom Brady over the coach. So you should be glad. Like, for those of you, I mean, Kraft should be getting a lot of credit from that camp, and that camp is huge. That camp is over half of Patriots fans. So shouldn't there be an outpouring of support for Robert Kraft for saving the franchise, for not letting Bill Belichick move on to Jimmy Garoppolo? How come I don't hear that for Kraft?
I'll start banging that drum louder if you
want. Bang it. I mean,
okay.
I mean, isn't that what he did?
Yeah. Yeah. He was right to stick with Tom Brady over Jimmy Garoppolo.
If it wasn't for Robert Kraft, would Garoppolo be the quarterback right now?
Probably.
So, and a lot of you don't want that. Spent years telling me how absurd that would be. So Robert Kraft should be a hero. So not only,
I don't think
the cause is Kraft should be getting criticism or the blame. I think he should be treated like a hero by fully half of the fans who believe that Brady's the key to the whole thing.
Okay, so I was just going to say, to me, it's pretty close to 50-50, though. Like you said, more than half. And you know, you may have just been saying it in passing. I'm not sure it's more than half.
But people think that Brady's more responsible than Kraft? I mean, Brady's more responsible than Belichick?
Oh, I'm not sure it's more than half.
Well, let's call it 50-50. There are 200 million sure. Patriots fans
yeah,
in the world.
Of course.
I made that number up. But there's 200
yeah, there are a lot of them.
There's 200 million Patriots fans. So 100 million. So
how can we word this to make a poll?
All I'm just saying, millions and millions and millions and millions of people believe Tom Brady is more instrumental to this success and is the key to the success and has been more important than Bill Belichick. And the owner just stepped in and made sure that Tom Brady stays. How come I don't hear Kraft getting more credit? Now, see, I don't agree with this. I think they should have gone with Garoppolo, and so I blame Kraft for not letting Bill do his job. So, but I'm on the other side of it because I'm a little bit more Belichick than Brady. But for all the Brady people, how come I don't hear this out? Thank you, Robert, for saving the franchise. Shouldn't he be getting that?
Sure, yeah, but you know how that works. I mean, I don't know that people typically call up to say positive things anyway. In anybody's defense.
Especially not here. You're right. There's no place. You sir do not have a seat at the table if you want to call up and compliment someone. But the poll, are we going to do that? That's too cheesy. A Brady Belichick poll?
Who is more instrumental for the success of the
Come
New
on.
England Patriots?
But isn't that too corny?
Okay, but I'll tell you what. I put something.
It's a radio show, Mike.
I put something akin to that.
Haven't we done it a million times?
Why not do it again?
I put something akin to that up like over a year or a year ago. Call it a year ago. And the numbers were pro Belichick. I remember.
Well, those numbers were wrong.
Okay, now that was that was pre Malcolm Butler. And so now, so again, these types of things can be very time sensitive. You know, tell me when you asked the question and I'll tell you what the result was. Like, of course, there's that element.
I mean, you asked right now after that Butler decision?
Right.
It's going to be 60-40 Brady Belichick.
So let's do it.
Fine, do it. Go ahead, do it. And we're not, Matt in Framingham is not going to robocall. He's not going to go on the street and poll people. We're not going to go door to door with Matt in Framingham. We're going to put this up on Twitter. On what pages? Just you can help me out there?
Or as Matt would say it, Twitter.
The Felger and Maz Twitter page, I believe.
Felger and Maz Twitter page. I am James Stewart. This is not like, this is a corny poll, but this is just to sort of prove a point.
Hey, we had 8,000 respondents to the last poll.
Okay, so again, who's more responsible? Brady or Belichick?
Let me know when it's up and I'll retweet it.
Okay.
Who is more responsible? Is that what you want? Because I have it worded currently. Who is most instrumental for the success of the New England Patriots?
We're saying the same thing.
Okay. Words were important to you earlier in the week. So
no, it is. No, I mean, one word can change a poll. There's no question about it.
Oh, I can't wait till Jimmy starts sleeping again.
No, seriously. He's almost better when he's not.
Well, no, he is better, but eventually it's going to get violent. I mean, he's not getting any rest.
Okay, but this is just to prove, this is just to find
it's
out.
It's up, Tony.
Okay, so how many Patriots fans do you think there are in the world? I mean, help me with that.
4 billion.
50
no,
million.
Stop. How many people in Massachusetts?
6 million or something?
Is that a total guess?
No, something like that.
All right, so let's say there are 10 million Patriots fans in the world?
More.
20.
Okay, 20. Fine, you win.
No, we're pulling numbers out of our keister.
Fine, 20 million Patriots fans.
You'd think, you'd know by now not to do numbers.
No, but there should be a way to come up with a fair estimate of it.
Google it.
Google it, Felger.
I'm on it.
Let me Google how many Patriots
fans. Murray, Brady's winning the poll by 100%. Good. One vote in.
So let's just say tens of millions. Okay? 10 million, 20 million. There are millions upon millions upon millions of people who believe Brady is the key to the whole thing.
Yeah, me included.
Robert, then why aren't you supporting Robert Kraft for stepping in and keeping Tom Brady?
Because I don't want the owner messaging.
Why are you such a Garoppolo guy?
Because he loves Garoppolo more than anything else.
No. Because it's a different question. The question is, who has been more instrumental to the Patriots, Brady or Belichick? And I tell you, with regard to the Super Bowls, it's Brady. Absolutely, it's Brady. Does that mean I want him to play until he's 60? No. Like, if I'm planning for the long-term future of the team, I'm keeping the coach and get rid of the quarterback.
So this defeats the purpose of this thing. Because I just want to...
No, who has been?
Okay, no, but I just want to come up with the number of Brady people that are out there. You know, in this debate, and it's such a corny, it's such a overridden debate. You know, that's why I don't want to do the poll. It's like you're either Brady or Belichick. So all I'm saying is, if you've been Brady,
you should be in support of the owner,
right? Shouldn't you be happy that Kraft meddled? Shouldn't you be happy that Kraft meddled?
Yes.
And I just don't hear that. I just don't hear that, and that strikes me. Here's Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials. We're right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.